This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 27th, 2007. I'm Caleb Brown. A conventional view is that faster wage growth would improve Social Security's financial condition. But is that true? Jagadish Gokhale, author of a new Cato policy analysis that studies the connection between Social Security's financial condition and wage growth, offers his assessment. What are the commonly held beliefs about the impact of wage growth on the financial condition of Social Security?
Well, I think the general consensus in the economics profession, as well as in the public debates over Social Security reform, tends to be that faster economic, or more specifically, faster wage growth in the future will improve Social Security's financial condition. And that view is widely held. Was also evident in the presidential debates from the last presidential elections, when they were asked what reforms they would emphasize for Social Security. The candidate John Kerry said that we don't really have to do anything about reforming Social Security because economic growth. Faster economic growth will bail us out. So generally, I think there is a consensus that if we are somehow able to improve or increase the rate of growth, economic rate of growth in the country, then Social Security's financial condition would be improved, and therefore there's no urgency to undertake reforms. Another reason why people believe that faster growth would be desirable from Social Security's from the perspective of Social Security's financial condition is because the Social Security Administration is viewed as adopting rather pessimistic projections on future economic growth. Now, if they are indeed pessimistic and future economic growth is expected to be much faster, perhaps because historically we've been growing faster, especially after the mid-1990s, then if that trend of faster economic growth than what the Social Security Administration assumes is realized, then the imbalances we measure for Social Security themselves would be much smaller. And that again indicates that the urgency of reform is not very great.
On its face, it seems fair to say that faster economic growth would actually improve the condition of Social Security because you have an infusion of new funds.
Right. And the reason why there is a consensus is because the Social Security Administration has promoted measures that show that fast economic growth leading to an improvement in the system's financial condition. Unfortunately, those measures generally tend to be short-term in their orientation. For example, measures such as the crossover date, which tells us when tax revenues will begin falling short of benefit expenditures. Well, if economic growth occurs faster, then over the short term, tax revenues are going to go up simply because faster economic growth will mean faster wage growth and employees will have higher wages and they'll therefore pay higher payroll taxes immediately. But those higher wages will not be incorporated into higher benefits for many years, in fact, many decades, until those workers retire. So immediately you'd see fast economic growth having an immediate impact on revenues, but not an immediate impact on benefits. And if our measures that tell us what the system's financial condition is a short-term in their orientation, we're going to see an improvement in the system's financial condition. But, of course, if you adopt longer-term measures, then those increases in future benefits will be counted in rather than ignored. And then it's not clear whether fast economic growth on net will improve or worsen the system's financial condition because both taxes and benefits are rising. In general, if both taxes and benefits have a gap, that is, we have a shortfall of resources, faster economic growth over the long term would tend to increase taxes, increase benefits and therefore magnify or expand the gap between taxes and benefits as well. So if you don't look far enough ahead, it will seem as though the condition improves. But if you do actually adopt longer-term perspective in measuring the system's finances, then it's not a foregone conclusion that the system is better off.
Okay, what are the implications then for measuring Social Security's health using a measure that goes out into perpetuity?
Well, there's this is a complicated question because there are many things that impact both taxes and benefits of the Social Security system in response to fast economic growth. One element is the fact that the U.S. population is aging over time. With an aging population, benefits would grow for two reasons, not just because growth is faster, but there are more people taking in benefits over time. The second point is that under the current system, annual balance ratios, that is the balance between future revenues and future benefit expenditures, taken as a share of future payrolls year by year, are rising over time, which means that in the future, the taxes that would have to be imposed to balance the system's revenues and expenditures would rise over time. Now, what does faster growth do? Faster growth means that future incomes would be higher, but those larger incomes would be subjected to higher annual balance ratios or higher tax rates as dictated by the annual balance ratios, which means that on average, more of our income would be subjected to higher tax rates because annual balance ratios are rising over time under the current system. That just indicates that faster economic growth would increase the average taxes that we would require in order to pay the current scheduled benefits.
Why does the Social Security Administration de-emphasize measures of the financial health of the Social Security system that extend into perpetuity?
Actually, historically, the Social Security Administration did compute and report measures of the system's finances in perpetuity. That was many decades ago. As it turned out, at that time, the results from calculating these measures over just 75 years, say, or going through perpetuity didn't make a huge difference. So they dropped the perpetuity measures. But subsequently, after Social Security benefits were indexed to inflation, which meant future benefits would continue to rise with inflation rather than lag behind, that meant going forward does actually make a difference. Going beyond the 75 years makes a difference. Social Security Administration today does report perpetuity measures, but they don't emphasize them as much. Those measures are usually reported in the back at the back of the trustee's report, and short-term measures are given precedence and emphasized by the trustee's report. Those measures, such as the crossover date that I already mentioned, the trust fund exhaustion date, that is currently 2042, that looks at when the trust fund will run out of money, or annual balance ratios, that is the balance of revenues and expenditures as a ratio of payrolls every year, or the most recognized and most popular measure, the 75-year actuarial deficit. All of these measures are short-term measures, and these tend to show an improvement in the system's financial condition as a result of faster wage growth. The perpetuity measure would show that the system's financial condition does not improve or possibly even worsens as a result of faster wage growth. But the Social Security Administration, at least so far, has not provided any analysis of the sensitivity of the long-term measure, the perpetuity measure, to changes in its underlying assumptions, such as the rate of economic growth or the rate of wage growth.
Jagadish Gokhale is a senior fellow at the Cato Institute. His recent policy analysis on Social Security and wage growth is available at our website, cato.org.